is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU, and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about child support tonight. We're talking about your rights, your concerns, and how best to navigate the system. My guests are Jarnice Johnson, Director of the Prince George's County Child Support Office, Debbie Hines, Director of the Montgomery County Child Support Office, and David Smith, Vice President of 100 Fathers Incorporated. We are taking your phone calls all the way up until 8 o'clock tonight. If you're having difficulty getting through, please keep calling. I promise I will get to you at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Dawn, calling from Washington, D.C. Thanks for calling, Dawn. What's on your mind?
Hi. My question was wondering, is there ever a time when child support goes away? In other words, my ex-husband has an outstanding the balance that he has not paid. However, I've not had any child support, I would say, 15, 20 years. And I didn't really go back to the courts. But I'm wondering, if I decided to do that, even though my children are grown, can you still go back and collect those monies?
That's a really interesting question. And even though you're in D.C., I'm sure that, you know, you ladies may have at least some thoughts about that. Because what happens if a parent is not paying and is in what is called arrears, and then that child ages out? So what happens?
Was that court order paid through a local county child support office, or was that payable directly to you?
It was payable to, it was through divorce, through the courts in D.C., in Washington, D.C., and the checks, he had to pay the monies to D.C., and D.C. sent me a check.
Okay. Through the child support office.
Through the child support office.
Hold on, Dawn. Let me see if Debbie can at least begin to address your question.
I would contact the District of Columbia Office of Child Support to see if your case is even still open. There are some limited things that they can do to collect arrears, but I'm not even sure if, you know, you first need to start and see if your case is open and then see, go from there.
And also check on the statute of limitations in that state.
Okay. Dawn, go ahead. You had another brief question.
No, I was saying, what happens if it's closed? I mean, so what does that mean?
You would need to actually contact your local child support office, if that is the District of Columbia, to see what their policies and their procedures are regarding accepting cases for arrears only, because it does vary from state to state. So you would need to start there first to determine what's the status of your case.
Okay. Dawn, thank you so much for your phone call. Now, what about in the state of Maryland? So what happens if a parent is paying child support and the child turns 15 and then for whatever reason that parent stops paying and then the child graduates from high school, turns 18, and that parent is now 3 years in arrears. So what happens?
In the state of Maryland, we will continue to collect as long as there's an open child support case in our computer system. There are several things that we can do to enforce those court-ordered arrears, such as passport denial, driver's license suspension, financial institution data match, where we are able to garnish the bank account. The professional license suspension, which is called our PLS program. If a person has a license, then we can suspend that license. So those are the things that we do administratively. We also intercept their taxes at the end of the year if someone files their income taxes. So those are just a few of the enforcement remedies that we have to collect the arrears or the back child support.
David, I want to ask you about something that happened recently. The Prince George's County Sheriff's Department did a child support violations roundup, some 16 men who were not paying child support were arrested and charged with, you know, non-payment of child support. When you're dealing with men who are not paying and they get into the system, how do you attempt to address their issues? If indeed, for whatever reason, they decide after they're arrested, they do want to try to, I guess, come clean and participate in the child support process.
First, they should be, you know, there should be some type of there. And I think Obama had put it in play that they wanted to do a forgiveness period on certain things of arrears. But they were trying to cut out the jail to job piece, you know, jail for jobs, which came up today. So we're trying to teach these fathers to understand that if you cannot make that payment, to at least go to the court or the child support office. Your best option is go to the court because you can file your modifications there. You can't really file them at the child support office, you know. Mm-hmm. If the case is at the courthouse, you know, and so they need to understand that if they fall behind, that they need to, you know, make those note on the record of the court so that they can put a stay in or put a, you know, request for modification or hold or, you know, because the locking up is the biggest counterproductive part, you know, of the system that they're trying to pull that piece out, you know, and that's what happened I think it was last year in North Carolina when Walter Scott was shot by sheriffs, you know, running because
South Carolina.
South Carolina,
yeah,
right.
Or North Charleston, you know, but go right,
right
ahead.
Mm-hmm. You know, and, you know, he was in fear of being locked up and did not want to go back, and he was shot on fleeing. So, I mean, there's better ways to help with the fathers that get behind, because you never know what their situation is. Mm-hmm. and why they've gotten behind.
Jarnice, you were nodding your head.
Yes, I agree with everything that was said. That's why we do have programs in place. Maryland passed state law about 3 or 4 years ago, and it's called the Payment Incentive Program, where we do assist non-custodial parents in forgiving part of the temporary cash or the TANF debt. That's the debt that's owed to the state of Maryland. So we try to work with non-custodial parents or individuals to get them back on track, especially offering them an incentive program that if they pay for 12 consecutive months through an agreement or court-ordered payment, then we will forgive 50% and eventually 100% of the state-owed arrears. Now, of course, we cannot forgive the custodial parents' arrears for those that are owed to the custodial parent.
Explain that again, please. You said you cannot forgive the custodial parent. In other words, the parent that has the child domiciled.
Yes, that's on cases where there is no state no state debt owed. When a parent is receiving TANF, that's what's called a state debt, that money is to repay the amount that was paid in the TANF to the state of Maryland. When a parent is not receiving any type of public assistance, then that money goes directly to the custodial parent. And those are the funds where I say that you cannot forgive the money that is owed to the custodial parent.
But it seems to me, even under that program, that if you are forgiving some 50%, and this is assuming that this is money that is needed, not abused, not being taken advantage of, but if a parent needs that money and the state is forgiving 50% or even eventually 100%, isn't that counterproductive to the health and welfare of the child? What am I missing?
That money isn't owed to the custodial parent, so that custodial parent does not receive that money. That is retained by the state of Maryland.
Okay.
For the period of time that mom or dad was receiving cash assistance.
Okay. Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Howard calling from New Carrollton. Thanks for calling, Howard. Howard, what's on your mind?
All right, I have a couple of questions.
Well, hold on. Let me just ask me the real quick. Go ahead.
All right. The first one is, what resources are out there? I know that you have the father's advocate person on there. Is there a website or telephone number or something that I could call them and speak to them after this? But I recently went back to court. My daughter turned 18, graduated from high school. My order was issued in Virginia. They brought us back to court because they did the. They said she's disabled now, hasn't been part of the issue. But they not only didn't decrease my child support or stop my child support, but they increased my child support. And I'm going from paying roughly 55% of my salary to now 80% of my salary because they have my pay stubs, but they don't have any payment information from the mother other than her telling them, oh, this is what I make, and I've been stuck at this level for X number of years.
So you're saying, Howard, that you are in the state of Maryland and the mother and the daughter are in the state of North Carolina?
Virginia.
Or they're in Virginia. Okay.
Right.
So...
I really cannot speak to Virginia's policies and their procedures regarding that. I think that's something that you would have to contact the state of Virginia to ask that question.
Okay. My second part of that question is I actually applied to Maryland to have the child support moved over here because my understanding is it should be following me since I'm the payer. And I'm waiting to hear back from PG County. That application was put in at the beginning of, at the tail end of last month or the beginning of this, I think it was the, actually it was the tail, it was definitely the tail end of July. So, I'm still waiting.
So what you're, let me see if we can kind of clarify this, Howard, because this is complicated, sounds like to me. And so you're saying that you've applied for a modification.
Yes.
Okay, but the child is not in Maryland. The child is in Virginia.
Yes.
And so you've applied to Prince George's County to modify a child support payment for a child that is domiciled in Virginia. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, okay.
Okay, I do understand if the mother and the child are living in Virginia, and it's a Virginia child support order, from what I understood you to say, you yes. live in Maryland, so you've gone to your local child support office and asked for a modification. And I can tell you, under the Uniform Interstate Family Support Act, Maryland will not be able to modify your child support order because we do not have jurisdiction over the other party, and both parties still reside, or the mother and the child still reside in the issuing state, which is Virginia. So under that process, Virginia would be the only state that would be able to modify your order at this time.
Okay.
And
go ahead, David.
And I forgot his name, but
Howard.
If you give me a call after the show, I have some people that work in Virginia that can probably assist you with that.
You have a phone number that you can share.
He can call me at my direct number 301-974-2508.
That's 301-974-2508. 2508. Okay, Howard,
okay.
Thank you.
And what was your name again?
David.
David Smith.
Okay.
Yes, Vice President of 100 Fathers Incorporated. I need to take yet another break. Howard, thank you so much for giving us a call. When we come back, we're going to talk to Lisa in Gaithersburg. Hey, Lisa, it's been a while since we've heard from you. Keisha in Maryland. Andre in Prince George's County. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Also on the other side, we're going to find out exactly what happens when you go through the process. How is the money distributed to the custodial parent? We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about child support. Let's go back to the phone lines. Lisa, calling from Gaithersburg. Hey, Lisa, how are you?
I am well. How are you?
I'm good. Haven't spoken to you in a while. What's going on?
Oh, this is a great show.
Thank you.
I had to call in. I'm still trying to wrap my head around the comments from the father who called earlier, who said that he went back to court to fight to stop child support to his disabled adult child. I wish he had spoken more about the specific circumstance, because on his face it sounds a little harsh. And my question is for Mr. Smith. Do you have cases where fathers come to you with situations like that? And if so, what do you do, especially if the child is greatly in need of, or the adult child is greatly in need of support?
I've had many fathers come that have been the custodial parent trying to seek child support, as well as been the non-custodial parent trying to figure out how they pay or keep them up to standard. Always we want our parents, you know, whether father or mother, to pay, you know, for, you know, which is not always, you know, money. It takes finances to raise a child, but it also takes time. If I've had a parent that would come to me that wanted to stop child support, I would have to ask him what was his purpose, you know, on why he would want to not pay for his child versus, you know, continuing to pay, unless there was some reason that he was trying to get time or was being denied time, you know, and then that's where the court would have to come in and figure out what is best for this child. But I have many fathers that come to me and they're just trying to figure out how they can take care of their kid, but also take care of themselves and not wind up locked up behind the bars.
Okay, Lisa, thank you so much. Good to hear from you. Don't be a stranger. Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Keisha, calling from Maryland. What's on your mind, Keisha?
Hi.
Hey.
I just recently had a court child support hearing set in less than 30 days. And I'm wondering, it's showing that the duration of the hearing will be 30 minutes. And should I be expecting? What is actually going to happen at this hearing?
What is your child support hearing for? Is it to establish a child support order? Is it to establish paternity? Or is it to enforce?
It is to establish the order.
Okay. I can't tell you the duration of the hearing. That's going to be up to each of the judges that's on the bench as to the duration, but you both will be expected to present your financial information so that a calculation of the child support order can be done according to the Maryland Child Support Guidelines. They will probably ask for typically the three most recent pay stubs or any financial information to show what your earnings are, as well as if you're paying for any child care, for daycare, as well as if you're providing and paying health insurance. So all of those factors are considered when calculating the child support obligation, and that's what they would be looking for when you get to court.
And let me say, you know, Keisha, just from someone who has been, you know, through the process a long, long time ago, that if both parties are forthcoming, it really doesn't take that long. Because, you know, and I emphasize, and I'm sure, David, you can speak to this, if both parties are forthcoming.
Yeah, both of you should be willing to support that child's best interest and try to compromise and cooperate the best that you can. I don't know if the other party is involved or where your all's animosity is, but or if there's even been custody established, because usually custody should be established before the child support, but sometimes it goes the other way.
Okay, so that brings me to my second question. I'm actually divorced. At the time that we divorced, he was working.
He was Since not then, working, you say?
He was working.
He was working.
At the time of the divorce. And it has not been, he's kind of been working temp jobs ever since. So the money that I've gotten since the divorce has been minimal. I mean, random and minimal and not enough to cover the cost for two small children.
So what's your question? So what's your question? What's your question?
So my question is, how do they determine how much support he can pay if he's not working?
They're going to go by his income that he can provide at the moment and base it off that as well as what you're making and do the adjustment that way.
So if he says that he's not working at all, then that amount is zero.
It generally is not. Mm-hmm. The court could impute income, although that's not always the best thing to do because you want to get payments. And if the non-custodial parent doesn't have the means to pay, then you're not going to get payments. So it has to be a realistic court-ordered obligation. Now, what could happen is that the court could give the non-custodial parent an opportunity to find employment and then bring you back in a certain amount of time to rerun those guidelines.
Okay. Keisha, thank you so much for your phone call. Before I go back to the phones, I wanted to talk about the process. If you go to court and child support is established by the court and it goes through, for example, the county child support system, how does the money get to the custodial parent?
So payments are sent and dispersed from a central state disbursement unit, which is located in Baltimore. And the custodial parent can opt for direct deposit, which you would fill out the application for direct deposit. The initial payment, the first payment is if direct deposit hasn't been applied for, is sent by check. But subsequent payments will be put on a cash pay card, and the custodial parent does get that information. So it's called an EPIC card in Maryland. Each state has a different name for it. But they will get correspondence saying that we're going to put your money on an EPIC card, and then the bank will issue the EPIC card. But the initial payment's a check, paper check.
So how does the money get from the non-custodial parent through the system?
All payments are sent to the state disbursement unit in Baltimore. So if money's coming out of a non-custodial parent's check, that payment is sent to the central disbursement unit. They deposit the checks, post the payments, and then issue the payment to the non-custodial.
I guess what I'm asking is, how does that happen? In other words, does the non-custodial parent send the check, send the money to the state, or does the job send it to the state?
It could happen one or two ways. Right. Mm-hmm. It could happen where the non-custodial parent sends payments in on his or her own, or it can happen by us issuing a wage withholding notice to the employer. Once the employer receives the wage withholding notice from the child support office, they are directed to withhold a certain amount, which is the court-ordered amount, and they are also instructed that they can have what's called the EFT, so you don't have to write us a check and send it to our state disbursement unit. You can transfer the funds electronically from the employer directly to the state of Maryland. Then the state of Maryland will issue a state check to the custodial parent.
And talk to me about private cases. What is a private case?
A private case is when both parties do not apply for child support services through our agency to establish a court order, and they go directly to the court. Most of those orders, after the order is established through private attorneys or the parties could come to an agreement on their own and get a court order, most court orders are payable through the state disbursement unit in our offices. So eventually they do end up coming through our office.
And actually all payments are required to be paid through the state disbursement unit, regardless of whether or not a parent comes to our office for child support services, which is called just the collection and disbursement case. The money goes in and it goes out without any interference because they want all payments to come out by wage withholding.
I see. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Andre, quickly, we're short on time. What's on your mind?
Yes, I had a very unique case. My case originated in D.C. I was ordered to pay child support after the paternity test 3 months after the child was born. 11 years later, the case was moved to PG County, and PG County adopted the case. I've been going back and forth to court about the modifications, and actually I didn't have a court order to pay for the increase when the case was adopted by Maryland. The judge asked me what would I like to volunteer for the increase. However, the funds wasn't going to the child. The child and I had gained a relationship over those years.
Well, Andre, stop. Andre, I don't have a lot of time. What's your question?
The question is, how could the child support case be modified whereby the father and mother, the custodial and non-custodial parent, have rights over the child? Because if I take a paternity test and the child is mine, I believe I have just as much rights to that child. I believe that they should have some way where the father or the non-custodial parent should be mandatory that they see that child.
Okay, so you're not talking about child support. You're talking about custodial issues. Okay,
Custodial and child support.
Okay, real quick, David, because I'm really short on time. Go ahead.
The custodial part, you both should have rights, and it does seem to fall less on the father, especially if it's an unmarried case. But parents are parents, and they both should have a right to paying and seeing their children. And real quick, you can modify the child support. You can modify the custody. I advise parents, if they cannot work it out together and pay, to go through that system. Unfortunately, I'm going to put a news flash out here. Maryland was just ranked number one in collecting child support, but they're not going to tell you about the incentive part of it that the federal government paid to put that 2-to-1 for them to collect that child support. So going through the system can help when you cannot get along with the other parent, but you're going to not get all of the support to that child. There will be reductions for fees and things like that for process. So if parents can work it out and put the money between each other, it saves the best interest of that child, because you know both parents are paying there and the money is being seen. So that's my two cents on that.
I am out of time, and I apologize to those callers that are still trying to get through, but certainly this is a very, very complex issue. And I would certainly recommend, wherever your jurisdiction is, to certainly reach out to your local child support office and seek what other help you can. And there certainly are advocates of all stripes out there to help custodial and non-custodial parents. I want to thank Jarnice Johnson, Debbie Hines, and David Smith for sharing with us tonight. That is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Wednesday, August 17th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can reach me at hfisher@whur.com, on Facebook at Harold Fisher WHUR, or Twitter at Daily Drum WHUR. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton.